trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. Thank you for always joining in at this time as we start our Bible study. And today we carry on with our Bible study in 1 Timothy. And in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you're new here, we study the Bible, we pray together, and we are able to be encouraged with the scriptures. And at times it might look like we are not in a hurry. It is because God wants us to go into depth. You know, it's easy to read from Genesis to Revelation and just want to finish it as fast as possible. But if you sit on the scriptures, if you meditate, if you just spend time on it, and day as even during the day as you think through it, then God opens it up. The scriptures open up. And when they open up, then you are able to have such a depth of understanding that it releases the voice of God. It releases the mind of God. Remember, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that means that when you are by the word of God, that is when the clarity of the voice of God is released in your life. And you can be able to hear, and you can be able to know what God wants you to do per time and season. So let us read 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the Bible says, verse 1, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Now, if we settled, I mean, and yesterday we looked about this aspect of prayer, and we say that we need to be making all kinds of prayers for all men. And when we're making prayers, we're bringing supplications, we're bringing intercession, we're praying for them, we're giving thanks to God for all men. Why? Because God actually loves human beings. You know, it's easy to think that, oh, why is God not punishing wickedness? Oh, why is there so much wickedness in the earth? Why are people still committing evil and evil and evil, and they're still, it's like they're increasing? And you know, if you go to the book of Psalm 73, you'll find the Psalms of David there. And he was asking the question, why is it that wicked people continue to prosper and yet they continue to increase? Like, he was trying to ask himself that, I am looking at the lives of people who are wicked, and it seems like they are increasing. Each and every day, they are doing corruption, they're buying new cars, they're building new houses, you know, and they're not being caught. And yet, those that are walking in righteousness seem like they are not increasing, seem like they're struggling and are continuously struggling and striving. Yet, they're the ones who are walking according to the light of God. And the Bible says that his foot or his heart almost slipped until he entered the sanctuary of God. And when he entered the sanctuary of God, he was able to be revealed to the end of this wicked people. So he was able to be revealed to that, actually, you see, these guys are living like this, but their end result is that they end up in judgment. So we are not called to envy the wicked men, but we are called to pray for them. So there is a call for us to pray for all men. And the Bible says we pray for all men, we pray for kings, we pray for those in authority. Why? Because those in authority, they hold our lives. I mean, they hold authority. The Bible tells us that it is not without reason that the king has the sword, in that the sword can be used to punish wrongdoers. So if we are not living according to God or according to the law of the land, we can end up as wrongdoers and we can end up being punished by kings. So it is very important that even when you interact with kings and when you interact with politics as leaders, then you must know that, yes, if you go against them, you must also be ready to face their consequences. So that's why we are called to apply wisdom. You know, there are places where you might not just go out and do open evangelism. There are countries where it is just not possible. And that is why at times you have to use, you know, different ways to approach it. But there are reasons for that. And because God has given you the wisdom, knowing that if you go openly, you might lose your life, or you might not be able to reach the people that you will reach. But in every land, there is always a strategy that God gives you. And that's why when God says that he desires that all men to be saved, and let's look at what God says, verse 3, for this is good that and acceptable in the sight of God, that earlier on that we are to pray for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now you have to understand that it is one thing to be saved, but it is also another thing to come into the knowledge of the truth. I'll take a pause there for you to settle in. That God does not just want you to be saved. And there are many people, yes, who come to God and they say, oh God, you know, I need you to forgive me. I need you to cleanse me of my sins, cleanse my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior. And yes, they are born again. They are saved. But you see, they have still not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth, the word there in Greek is epignosis. That means it is a complete and accurate knowledge of God, of all things ethical and all things divine. That means that there is a knowledge of God, that God wants you to come into intimacy with him. There are many people, yes, who profess the faith, but they are not walking the life. They have not come to really know the God that they worship. You know, when Daniel 11, 32 says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. That means there is a certain knowledge that God wants you to have of him, that if he speaks to you, you can hear him. If he is happy with you, you will know it in your heart. There will be a certain joy in your spirit. There will be a certain burning in your heart that you will know that, oh, actually, this is something that pleases God. There are certain signs that God wants you to walk with him, that as you walk with him, you will start to know his pleasure or his displeasure with you. And that's why he's saying that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is why when the Bible speaks of Ephesians, in Ephesians 4 verse 11, that he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, so that they can equip the body, they can equip the church, that the church can come and grow into the knowledge of the perfect Son of God. That means that God wants us to come into the knowledge of him. And when you actually get to know who God is, then you get to know that he actually wants to be in union with you, and he has made you in his image and likeness, and he wants you to understand the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That Jesus Christ is not far away from you, that Christ has purpose to make his dwelling in you, God to live in a man. That is all that God wants. God wants each and every human being to live in them. And when God lives in you, then that means that everywhere you go, you carry God. You move to a new nation, you carry God there. You move to a new territory, you carry God. You go to your office, you carry the presence of God. Think about how the Israelites will carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the physical manifestation of heaven on earth, of the dwelling place of God on earth. And he had told Moses, build it according to the pattern that I've shown you on the mountain. So that God was able to come and manifest his presence in a tabernacle, in a tent, in an Ark of a Covenant. But you see, the greatest habitation of God is not just the Ark of the Covenant, it is man. So the scriptures are to point us to the example. You know, the Old Testament gives us shadows, types and shadows of how God would interact with men, or how God would dwell in a covenant, in an Ark of a Covenant, how God would dwell in a temple. But remember, the Bible now in the New Testament tells us that, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now think about how much reverence that people had for the Ark of the Covenant. Eh? That even when Uzzah, you know, when they were carrying it with the cattle, and then the Ark of the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached and tried to hold it, and God was displeased with him and struck him dead. That means there is a certain reverence that God wants us to walk with him. As we walk, as we know that we carry his presence, that consciousness will keep us away from sin. The consciousness that God is in us, that the Holy God is in us. We are living in fear and reverence. Remember, God says that wants us to live a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That means you're peaceful with him, you're peaceful with yourself, you're also peaceful with those around you. God also wants you to live in peace with your neighbors, with your brothers, with your sisters. Why? Because if you're not living in peace, you're not living according to God. God desires that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of our union with God. That God wants us to be united with him, to sit together with him in heavenly places, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, then you understand the authority that God has given you. There is a certain authority that God has given to the believer to fight the forces of darkness. When you understand the authority that God has given you, the authority is to trample over snakes and scorpions. Remember, Jesus tells his disciples, behold, I give you all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. The authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth, and he tells you go. Think about a traffic policeman. When the traffic policeman stands on the road, he stands with the authority of the state or the authority of the president. When he stands in his uniform and tells you stop, you have to stop. Why? Because he does not stand on his own authority. He represents the arm of the law. Now, likewise, we on the earth, we are the law enforcers of the authority that has been given to Christ. God has delegated his authority on the earth. When he say, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, that means that the authority that has been given to the Christ, when we come in his name, just as that traffic policeman stands on the road and stops cars, directs traffic, because he does not come in the name of his father or in the name of his parents, but he comes in the name of the state or in the name of the presidency, in the name of the law. And by that authority, they have power. Likewise, you as a believer, there is a power that God has given you. And these are the knowledge of the truth that God wants you to walk in. And each and every day, God enables us to walk into this knowledge. When the Bible says his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him, that means that God wants to give you, or rather God has given you everything that you need for your life and for your godliness. It is only hidden in the realm of knowledge. What you know about God is what guarantees your access to him. What you know about your God is what will guarantee the level of authority that you'll walk in. What you know about God is what determines the level of abundance that you walk into. The Bible tells us that he that has little, even the little that he has will be taken away. But he that has more, more will be added to them until they will have an abundance. And here he's speaking about the secrets of the kingdom of God. If you learn to cherish the secrets of the kingdom of God, there are things that God is constantly revealing to you. It will come to you as an awareness. You know, when the Bible says we have an unction from the Most High, that he by which we know all things, that you don't even need a teacher to teach you, but the unction within you shall bring you into the awareness, into the knowledge of all things. It is the revelation that even as you walk with God, you will know that by this time, oh, today actually, I should pray some more. Oh, today, oh, I should actually fast today. Why? Because there is an unction within you. There is a place in your spirit that is where God speaks to your conscience. And that is the place that guides us when we are wrong. When we are wrong, there is that conscience. God registers through the Holy Spirit. He registers in your conscience that you are wrong. And because he has registered in your conscience, it will come as a voice. It will come as a knowing. It might come as a bad feeling that something is wrong. But the moment you can sense it, it is important that you repent at that very moment. You just go back to God and say, God, I am sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Why? Because those things block our fellowship with God. So God desires all men to be saved, even those men who you think are wicked, even that person who hurt you, that person who abused you, that parent who has abandoned you, who has forsaken, God also wants them to be saved. Now, if you have this mindset within you that God wants all men to be saved, then you will treat men differently. You will give them grace. Yes, you can set your boundaries, and there's nothing wrong with setting your boundaries. There's no way you can keep opening up your wounds to people who are throwing, pepper on them. No, you can set your boundaries, but how do you demonstrate your love? Kindness. How do you demonstrate your love? By praying for them. How do you demonstrate your love? By showing kindness. Even in our words, what do we speak of people we don't agree with? The Bible tells us that the lips of a priest should just release knowledge. We should not be releasing curses on people. Wish them the best. Wish them the best. Wish people the best. If you love people, I assure you there's nothing that God will hinder you from. Because the heart of God is a heart for all men. The heart of God is a heart for all men. He desires all men to be saved. And any man that understands it will know, even that persecutor of brethren, that persecutor of people, that person, even God wants him to be saved. And God in his mercy is still able to save them. Yes, there are men who will resist. There are men who will reject. There are men who will decline it, who will refuse it all. That is fine. They have their time. God says he is not slow as men understand slowness, but he is patient with every man. Why? Because he wants men to be saved, and he wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is this knowledge of the truth? Verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, God is telling us that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men. When you think about what does a mediator mean? A mediator is someone that stands in between two parties that are having a conflict. Now, God and man were separated and came into conflict because of sin. That was not how it was in the beginning. In the beginning, there was a perfect union of God and man. In the Garden of Eden, man interacted freely with God. The Bible tells us that God, the voice of the Lord, will come walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he will interact with Adam. There was a sweet union. There was a sweet flow of the presence that man walked in Eden. Man walked under open heavens in alignment with heaven. Now, because man was in that sweet fellowship, when sin entered, the Bible tells us that it is our sins that separate us from God. Now, there arose a wall of conflict, a wall of enmity that God had to send man out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because of sin. If you look at Isaiah 59, it tells us, verse 1 and 2, that it is not that God's ears are too dull to hear us. It is not that his heart is too far away from us, but it is our sins that have separated us from God. So what sin does, it brings a dividing wall between God and man. Now, because God and man are separated by sin, then there is need for a mediator. Now, human effort tells us that, religion tells us that, oh, if I do good things, God will receive me. Oh, if I give to the poor, God will receive me. Oh, if I donate to charity, God will receive me. Oh, if my good works are better than my bad works, oh, God will have mercy on me. That is what religion tells us. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. Religion is man's efforts to get to God. Christianity, on the other hand, is God's efforts to bring man back to him. Now, the difference is, in religion, you are trying to do everything that you can to please God. In Christianity, it is God who brings the mediator. And that's why the Bible, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17 down to the end, it will say that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That means that God came in the form of this man, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator, the one who was the perfect sacrifice, who became the perfect sacrifice to become as the in-between between God and man. So God brought in, he came in man, in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And the Bible says, not counting men's trespasses or men's sins against them. So if you want to come to God, you have to come through the one mediator. Who is the one mediator? Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible is very keen to tell us that he came as a man. He was a man. He was flesh and blood. He was born of a woman. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was hungry. He grew up as an ordinary child. He played with others. He learned the scriptures. He read. He was tempted in every way. Yet the Bible tells us, yet he was without sin. He was without sin. And that is why he is able to be the perfect sacrifice for sins. When the Bible says there is one God and one mediator, it is trying to tell us that there are no other ways to get to God. Human beings can try to get to God through their effort. Human beings can try to get to God through their wisdom. Human beings can try to get to God through their own ability. They can try by their own means to get to God, but there is only one way to heaven. Don't think that there are many ways. You know, there are people who will say, there are many ways to heaven. Oh, you can go through Buddha, you can go through Muhammad, you can go through Confucius, you can go through all this. They will just try and tell you, New Age will tell you there are many ways to get to God. But the scriptures are very clear. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us he gave himself, God gave of himself as a ransom. You can think about it when kidnappers grab people. They will tell you that, okay, yes, you've grabbed that child, or we've grabbed you this person. But for you to restore this person, for you to get this person back, you need to pay a ransom. Now, this is what God does. He said that he gave himself. Jesus came and gave himself as a ransom. That means he paid the price. He came and gave himself in exchange. He said, okay, the law says that if the wages of sin is death, okay, I will die. I will die that you and me may be set free. So when we understand that God himself gave the mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, as a ransom for all to be testified in due time, that means salvation is available for every man. Now, this does not mean that, oh, everyone is now saved. This is the universalism teaching that says that because Christ died for all, it doesn't matter what we do, every human being will go to heaven. No, you must receive him. He says, the Bible tells us, he came to his own, to those who believed him, to those who received him. He gave them the right to become children of God. If you, it's just like soap is available. You know, someone was arguing, I mean, if the blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse of everyone's sins, why are there so much wickedness? And I believe it's Reinhard Bonnke who said, well, in the world there's a lot of soap, yes? But then why are there dirty people? You have to bring yourself to the soap. Let the soap wash you. Let you be cleansed. And that's why the Bible also tells us. So in the same way that you have to come to use soap to be clean, is the same way also you have to come to the blood of Jesus that you may receive the forgiveness of sins. It is only when you come to the blood of Jesus that you receive the forgiveness of sins. So Christ, God has given us one mediator. There's one person who stands in between God and man, bringing the reconciliation. This man who was perfect in every way, who was tempted like us, the Bible tells us he's a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. You can read that Hebrews 4 from verse 12 to the end. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. One who was tempted and tested in every way, yet he was found without sin. That means that God knows what weaknesses you go through. God understands the challenges you are facing. God knows the struggle it takes to overcome sin. And the Bible tells us, and that is why he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And by it, he died for us. And he offers us forgiveness of sins if we come to him. He is given as a propitiation. He is given as a payment. He is given as a ransom to be the mediator between God and man, this man Christ Jesus. And by him we have access to God. This is the knowledge of the truth, that God wants you to come and know him, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth, then you know you have access to God. God is your Father. God loves you. You experience that union. And what happens is there is the restoration of Eden. In the same way as Adam, God will visit Adam in the cool of the day. It's the same way when now you're brought back into union with God. Then God lives in you. And each and every day, in the cool of the day, what does that mean? When you sit to worship him, when you sit to meditate at the feet of Jesus, when you just put some quiet instrumental worship song and you start to read the scriptures, I assure you, you will sense the presence of God. And you can sense him every day. Because God does not, you know, we expect at times God to come in spectacular way. You know, at times you expect God to come to you in fire, in angels, in light and all that. That happens rarely. But there is a way that God comes supernaturally, in the small still voice, or in a peace in your heart, or in a burning in your heart, or in a sign that tells you that I am with you, my child. And he can come to you every day. Just sit in the cool of the day and you're going to experience God. You're going to experience the union and the presence of God within you. And I want to take a moment to pray with you that you will start to hear God clearly. You will start to sense his presence. You will start to know he's with you, to have the assurance that God is with you. And this is the experience of the new birth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that in you there is life. In you there is a union with you. In you there is a peace that we can experience when we walk in you, when we walk according to truth. That you are the mediator. You are the one that was given as a ransom for us. I pray, my Jesus, my God, for every man, every woman, every person that is coming back to this knowledge of the truth and saying, God, I've been away from you. I need you in my life. That in this very moment, you meet them, you forgive them, you cleanse their hearts, that your presence saturates them. He that has never felt your presence, may they experience the warmth of your presence this very moment. May they have that assurance that you are with them, that small still voice, that burning of heart, that sensation that they know, that sign that you are with them. And may they walk in the truth and in the knowledge of you, O God. May your hand of power direct, protect, and keep them, sustain them in their lives. Be with them and protect them. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. I pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. And walk in the fullness of God, the life of God. May God's strength be with you and strengthen you in all that you do. God bless.